There's a spirit here, and it's blessing us in every moment. The challenge is that we're not always aware of that spirit. But just because it's invisible doesn't mean that it isn't present, and it doesn't mean that it isn't powerful. Because many times the way that we've grown accustomed to seeing life and seeing the things of life is from a limited point of view. A few millennia ago, we used to think of the world as being flat. There are some people who still do think the world is flat. But once we got some elevation, we saw that it's spherical, that there's something more than just what we can see from a limited point of view. As we rise higher in consciousness, we see something more. We can look at islands in a lake or in an ocean and think that they're separate, but underneath the water, there's a connection. This is a topographical picture of Hawaii. You see some of the islands in green here, but on the background, you see that bedrock underneath that's there. Underneath the water, they're connected. And so if we go higher, we see something more. If we go deeper, we see something more. And so that's what spirit invites us to do, to know that there is a presence that connects everything in the blessings. It connects everything in the life. It connects everything in that love of spirit. It's all there for us in every moment to do that. So the work that we have is to continue to open our awareness to that in our lives. And the series that we're in for this Lenten season is called Unified. And we've taken some steps already. The first step was to undo, to look at the things in our lives that we needed to let go of, that we needed to release, that we needed to forgive, that we needed to unburden ourselves of, so that we could move forward with a sense of that connection to God, that sense of joy of God working in our lives. And that's a continual process. It's not a one-time thing. It's something that we do all the time. The next step we looked at was nestling into the presence of God, feeling that love of God, embracing ourselves, giving ourselves to it in such a way that it makes an impact on our consciousness that God as love is with us in every moment. And it's there for us. We can trust it. Its grace is there to bless us. Then we looked at how do we identify ourselves and others. Do we really see ourselves as spiritual beings? Do we really see ourselves as offspring of the infinite? Because that's the truth. Do we see others that way as well? And the invitation that we have is to keep coming back to that true identity of how we see ourselves, how we declare ourselves to be in life. Last week, we looked at focus. What are the ideas that we're focusing on? What are the images that we're focusing on? We looked at some ways to create affirmations that help us have this sense of connectedness, of focus in what it is that we're trying to create in life, what we're trying to be and do. Today, we're going to look at integrate. How do we integrate that sense of the presence in every part of our life? And again, sometimes we need to go back and undo some things in order to do that. And that's all part of the work that we have in life. I also wanted to sort of make a connection of this integration and how it keeps moving us to expand. Those of you here last week know we talked about this scripture in Matthew where a Samaritan woman had come to Jesus and asked for him to heal her daughter. And Jesus' response, first of all, was that I've come for the lost sheep of Israel. And Samaria wasn't a part of Israel. And she kept asking. And finally, what he says is that what is meant for the children are not given to the dogs. And her answer was, well, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the master's table. So she wasn't going to be shaken. She knew what she wanted. She was focused on what she wanted, and she kept asking until she got it. So at that point, Jesus identified his ministry to Israel. So our scripture today is later on. This is in the book of Acts, after the resurrection. And here's what he tells the disciples. You are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you must be witness for me in Jerusalem and all over Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. And so all of a sudden, there's a larger vision. Now, I thought it was interesting that the new Pope, Pope Francis, when he identified himself, he said he was from the ends of the earth. So in a sense, showing that this prophecy has been fulfilled. It's gone and it's coming back as a blessing. And so it's important for us to keep seeing that with spirit, it can work anywhere. It can work in everything, no matter what we've been told, it can work. Now, when I looked up Samaria in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, Charles Fillmore's interpretation of that name is mixed consciousness, because the Samaritans at the time of Jesus had some Jewish heritage, but they had also been mixed in with other peoples. And so in our own minds, we have ideas that are spiritual, but they also get mixed in with other ideas. You know, the diagnosis that we get from the doctor, the information we get from our accountant, you know, all those things get mixed in under the story so that we don't have a clear consciousness. So we're invited, again, first of all, to know that the Spirit of God wants to work in us. It wants to work in us so that we are witness in two senses, witness to its presence and power, and witness in the sense of declaring, being a witness to it and declaring that there it is. It's in our lives, and we see it in others' lives as well. In order to do that, we have to recognize that many times we live in a sense of being a victim of the world, a victim of circumstances, a victim of, you know, well, what can you expect? Here's the parents that I had, or here's the neighborhood I grew up in, or I didn't get the education that I could have happened. So it's something out there that has prevented me from being what I meant to be. And then we're usually praying to a God out there in some way. But at some point we recognize, no, we're connected to something else. And we can begin to claim, we can begin to shape our thoughts, we begin to shape our lives according to a different pattern. We don't need to just let things happen. We can begin to make things happen in our life. But eventually we recognize that our human resources, our rational mind, are still limited. And that we can make a crossover into another experience of victory, which comes from connecting ourselves consciously to that living presence of God. The very power that created the universe is available to us. The very intelligence that continues to operate in every aspect of the cells in our body and the way that the universe unfolds, that intelligence is a part of us. We can let it work through us. Now, the interesting thing about victory is also, I was thinking about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln lost many more elections than he won. But the couple that he won were very important, one that got him into Congress and one that got him to be President of the United States. When he was Commander-in-Chief of our armies, the armies lost many more battles than they won. But the ones that they did win were the ones that then moved us to a conclusion of that Civil War. So in that same way, when we look at our lives, sometimes we feel like we're in a battle with life or someone or something or some circumstances that shows up. And we may lose some of those battles, but the ones that we lose are not the ones that are important. It's the ones that we win. And to know that it doesn't take winning all of them, it just takes winning the ones that are important, the ones that will lead us then to that change in our lives. So that brings us into that sense that victory is inevitable for us when we connect ourselves to that presence of God. So the way that we do that is to bring an awareness of God into every part of our life, to see that it's there. You know, the choir is saying, you know, there's a spirit here. You know, are you able to look at your life and say, there's a spirit here. There's a spirit here in this part of my life. There's a spirit here in this part of my life. There's a presence here. There's a glory here. There's a joy here. There's a power that's here in every part of our lives. But again, if we're not witnessing it, if we're not saying it and announcing it to ourselves and to others, it's not going to be there for us. And so we have to recognize that our work is to integrate that consciousness into our life in everything that we're doing. There was a story about a musician was playing in a little duo in New York City, and they were playing in one of the Starbucks there. And not every Starbucks has musicians, but this place did. And they said it's a great place to play because there's always a lot of people that come through, so there's a lot of tips that happen. And so they were there one evening, and they're playing mostly, you know, pop songs from the 50s through the 90s. And they get people that were there to sing along. And one time when they were doing it, there was this one woman there, and she was singing along with them and had this really nice voice. And so after they finished the one song, they said, well, why don't you come up and sing a song for us? Do a solo for us. And so she got up to the front. She said, okay, I'll do that. She says, do you know any hymns? And he said, well, I grew up in church, so I know all kinds of hymns. And she said, well, why don't you pick one for me? So he said, how about His Eye is on the Sparrow? So they played it and she sang, and she knew that song and she sang it like it really meant something to her, that she knew that, God was with her in every moment. And after, you know, she finished, there was an ovation for everybody that was there at Starbucks. And she said, "That was my daughter's favorite song. She died of a brain tumor a few weeks ago, and this was very healing for me to sing that song." Think about that. And a Starbucks in New York City, somebody doing pop songs, and having someone come up and saying, "I'd like to do a hymn," and, this person picking a hymn, and picking exactly the hymn that would make a connection for this woman. There's an intelligence, there's a connection, there's a love that interweaves all of creation, and we're a part of that. But if we don't know that, if we aren't integrating that into our consciousness, how do we make that work? You know, think about our bodies. The bodies are made up of trillions of cells. They have the same DNA. How does the DNA that's in a toenail cell know to be different as a cell than an eyeball cell, or an elbow cell, or a hair follicle cell? How does, you know, there's an intelligence that works through that. We can call it the mind of God. We can call it all kinds of different things. But the thing is, it's already here. It's already at work. But if we're not thinking about it, if we're not cooperating with it, if we're not encouraging it, then it doesn't, it can't work at that level that it's meant to work at. It's meant to show up as health. And if it's not, you know, we can blame all kinds of circumstances, but why not let the blame go and just say, "I am one with that intelligence of divine mind that works through every part of my body, every cell, every organ, as life, as vibrant life, and integrate that into our consciousness." And again, we can do the same in our finances and our relationships and every part of it. Claim your connection to God and see it there. Know that it's there in your life, and it makes all the difference in the world. So how do we do that? So integrate. Think of it this way. One, O-N-E. The O stands for override with omnipresence. Override whatever things you're thinking or feeling about how life is disconnected. You know, the earth is flat. Well, if you look at it from a different perspective, it's not. Everything's separate. No, if you look at it deeper, it's not. Override that sense of separation with that absolute truth that God is everywhere. Not just omnipresent as something, but omnipresence as that everywhereness of the divine, that everywhereness of the infinite that we're a part of. So as we build that into our consciousness, it makes all the difference in the world. Now again, part of what interferes with that is the way that we've been taught. And again, here's just a sample. One of the ways that this is usually translated, Matthew 5:48, words of Jesus, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect." Now there's two responses that we usually in general get to that. Those of us who think that we can be perfectionists are going to strive for that. And the ones of us who know that we're not say, "Oh well, I guess I'm not going to make it." But if we take this word that's translated as perfect, there's another way to translate it as complete. "Be ye therefore complete, as your heavenly Father is complete." Gives us a very different meaning. What does complete mean? To be whole, to be connected, to be a part of something. Absolutely. That's the gift that we have, and that awareness of seeing omnipresence everywhere and seeing we're a part of it and see it working in and through all things. Now, it may not show up in the way that we'd like yet, but remember some of the versions of the Lord's Prayer that we use where the word evil, that's usually translated into English from the Aramaic that way, could also be translated as unripe. So if things aren't the way that you want, they're just unripe. Allow it to grow in. Bless it. See it unfolding. See that Spirit of God in there bringing forth the good that's already within it. It's already present. It's there in our lives. Remember as a kid, did you ever do any of those connect the dot things? You'd have a page and there were all these dots there. And you looked at it, you sort of thought you might know what it is, but all of a sudden you draw the lines and you go, "Oh, now I see what it was." It was there all the time. But we connected the dots. That's what Spirit invites us to do, to look at the circumstances in life, to look at what's going, and begin to connect some dots with God's mind, with God's love, with God's thing. And all of a sudden we'll see, well, there's a pattern. there's the blessing, there's the good. I saw it as, evil, I saw it as a rape. I thought, God has a way of connecting the dots for us that makes it all the difference in the world. And some people say, well, how come God let that murder happen? How come God let that? God didn't let it happen. God created us and we make choices. How many of you are parents and can get your children to do exactly what you want them to do? God gives us free will. And so again, our job is not, again, to judge what others are doing, but to be clear about what we're to be doing and call everybody else up. One of the lines I love in the gospel where Jesus said that if I am lifted up, I'll lift everybody else up too. We're all invited to be a part of that lifting up of each other in that consciousness in our lives. So here's our, connect the dots. Here's our affirmation. I am integrating the blessings of God into my life. Say this with me. I am integrating the blessings of God into my life. And again, I am integrating the blessings of God into my life. So think about some place in your life where you look at it and you go, I don't see any blessings. And here's our work. Override that with this idea that God's got to be there. That phrase, there's no spot where God is not. God's got to be there. And if I don't see it, then what are the dots that I haven't connected yet in that process? How can I see it in a different way? And how can I speak for myself? How can I be witness to that presence of God? How can I remind myself that the Holy Spirit is there? There's a Spirit here, the Spirit of the Lord, that wants to fulfill itself, that wants to grow. And so we all have a part in that. We all have a part in bringing that forth. So look at what that is for you and say, I'm integrating the blessings of God into my body, into my finances, into my life, into my relationships, into the way that I do my chores, and the way, whatever it is. See that again and again for yourself. There's a wonderful little poem from Hafez, who is a Sufi mystic. It's called A Friend in the Treehouse. Light will someday split you open, even if your life is now a cage. For a divine seed, the crown of destiny is hidden and sown on an ancient, fertile plain you hold the title to. Love will surely bust you wide open into an unfettered, blooming new galaxy. Even if your mind is now a spoiled mule, a life-giving radiance will come. The friend, and friend with capital F, meaning God, the friend's gratuity will come. Oh, look again within yourself, for I know you were once the elegant host to all the marvels in creation. From a sacred crevice in your body, a bow rises each night and shoots your soul into God. And again, he refers to God this way. Behold, the beautiful drunk singing one, from the lunar vantage point of love, he is conducting the affairs of the whole universe while throwing wild parties in a treehouse on a limb in your heart. So what is he trying to get us to get? That while God is making the universe work, he's also throwing a party in a treehouse on a limb in our heart. It's going on right here. And as we begin to see this, we begin to see that omnipresence is also omnipresence. And we remind ourselves and come back to that. It makes all the difference in the world. Tao Te Ching, number 10 in it, it says, can you coax your mind from its wandering and keep to the original oneness? Come back to that oneness, come back to that connection. So that from as we override omnipresence, then we can name God's truth in the midst of whatever situation we're in, to invoke that power of God, to say, here it is, it's right here, it's right here, it's right now. Because again, so many times we think we're waiting for it rather than knowing it's right here, so we have to name that truth. There's a wonderful story that we had in our Prosperity Plus class this last week. True story. George Danzing was a graduate student in mathematics. They were preparing for their final exam for the semester. And his professor said that whoever got the highest grade on the exam would receive a fellowship, a graduate fellowship, working with him. Well, this was George Dancing's favorite professor, and he loved math, and to get a job doing math, I mean, that was like, that's what he wanted. Like, to me as a musician, to get paid to play music is like, what could get better than that, you know? And so to get this job, this fellowship with this professor, that's what he wanted. So he studied and studied and studied. The exam was going to be Monday. He studied all weekend. He stayed up late and studied and studied. He overslept Monday morning. He got to the exam late. He walked in, everybody else is working. The professor hands him, you know, the exam sheet, and he sits down, and there's six questions on the exam. So he starts working them. He's studied, so he knows them. He finishes them, he goes back and checks his work. Yes, he got these right. He looks up, and on the blackboard, there are two more math problems on the blackboard. He goes, oh. And he starts looking, he goes, those are hard. He says, those are the ones that he's going to use to see who's going to get the fellowship, who's going to get that job. So he writes them down, and he starts working on them. He can't figure these out at all. And so the end of the time comes for the exam, and the professor says, I can see that some of you are still working, and I'm going to trust your integrity that you're not going to, you know, work with anybody else or cheat on this, but go home and work, and just make sure it's back in my office by Friday at 4 p.m. So George goes home, and he's working on these problems. He works Tuesday, he works Wednesday. Finally, on Wednesday, he figures out one of these problems. Keeps working on the other one, keeps working. Probably Friday at noon, he figures out that other problem, finishes it up, takes it in, turns it in. I'm done. And his whole time, he's thinking, you know, these are hard, but you know, if someone's going to figure this out, why not me? You know, one of these other grad students, you know, they could probably do it, but I'm going to be the one to do that. And so Sunday morning, after he's turned it in, there's this pounding at 7 a.m. on his dorm room. And he opens the door. Here's the professor. And he says, you were late to the exam, weren't you? And he goes, yeah. He says, well, you didn't hear me say then that here's your exam, these six questions, and oh, because I know you all like math, here's two other questions that are unsolvable that you can play with, you know, the rest of your life trying to figure. Even Einstein couldn't figure these out. And he says, we've checked your work. I took your problems to two other of the professors, and you've made mathematics history. Why? Because he didn't know that you couldn't do it, right? He later on, George wrote, he said, if I had been present at the beginning of the exam when he had said, here's two unsolvable problems that even Einstein couldn't figure out, I wouldn't have done it. But my thought was, somebody's going to figure it out. It might as well be me. And so this is that same thing, to name God's truth. What is God's truth? Just because someone else will say, oh, you've got 6 months to live, or, you know, whatever it is, you're going to run out of money, whatever it is. That's their opinion. That's what they're seeing from their flat earth view. That's what they're seeing from the separateness of the islands. You've got another way of seeing. You've got omnipresence. You can see from that. And so you get to name God's truth from that point of view, from that perspective. I'm connected to God's life. I'm connected to God's abundance. I'm connected to God's joy. I'm connected to God's love. It doesn't matter what appearances are. I may not see it yet, but I know the truth. And I can live from that truth. I can work in that way. So we want to plug into that. Because again, the key is, so many times when we're praying and thinking, we think we need to get to our good. We need to get to God. And as long as we're thinking that way, we're going to be living in separation. We're living in a feeling that I don't have what I want. I don't have what I need. So we have to learn to come from that good that's already there. Come from God. Because again, if we're trying to get to it, we're separate. But if we come from it, we're already connected. And we're living as the witness to it. We're living as that blessing in our life. Friday morning, I woke up with cramps in my legs. And the first thing that I switched, fortunately, I've been praying for decades and decades and decades, and the prayer, mighty currents of God's healing love flow through me now. And so I started praying that prayer. And the other part that I've trained myself, that I say it for myself once, and then I say it for everybody else as well. So mighty currents of God's healing love flow through me now. And then I go, mighty currents of God's healing love flow through us now. Because I have a lot of people have asked me to pray for them or pray for their parents or whatever. So I include all of the ones I'm praying for, which is all of us on the planet here, in that. Because again, what that does for me is rather than thinking, you know, mighty currents of God's healing love flow through me, I'm thinking mighty currents of God's healing love flow through us. I want to get this vast, immense idea of this energy of God's healing presence and power, not just for me, but for everybody. And again, is it going to move everybody all at once? A little bit. And if I don't do it, it's not going to be any different. So we can give ourselves to that and give ourselves to that truth. When we say grace, you know, before a meal, what are we're acknowledging a connection to God, to God's blessings in our life. What if we made our whole life a grace? What if we invoked that presence and power of God, named it in everything that we're doing? Again, as we're doing our chores, you know, we've all got stuff that we've got to do, but what if we do it in the name of God? You know, what if we cook our meal as a grace? What if we show up to work as a grace? What if we, you know, talk with our mother-in-law as a grace? You know, whatever it is. Imagine that you know who you are, you know who they are, you know the presence of God is there, and so you're going to come from that, and you're going to treat it as an opportunity to experience that presence where you are, so that then you can embody the presence in all that you are. Where's the Holy Spirit? It's right where you are. It's coming. It's at work. All you have to do is to make yourself available to it in consciousness. One of the things I love about the story of the gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, I must go away so that the Holy Spirit can come to you. Because they were looking to him for all the answers. They were looking for him to, you know, why their prayers didn't work, why did his prayers work? They were looking for him. He says, I got to get out of here so that you guys will begin to experience this for yourself. And so we recognize that there's nobody more spiritual than you are. You're a spiritual being, period. And all you need to do is to know that, to embody that, to say, the Spirit's with me. The Spirit is upon me. You know, here it is, his work. There's a Spirit here, the Spirit of the Lord. You know, it's not just the choir gets to sing that. We get to say that for ourselves. That's the gift that's there. You know, Jesus made, you know, this idea of this right where we are, that's that expansion that is there, the expansion that's working right here, right there. You get a blessing because I forgot to use this at first service. There's a quote from Fred Rogers. Remember Mr. Rogers? At the center of the universe is a loving heart that continues to beat and that wants the best for every person. Anything we can do to help foster the intellect and the spirit and emotional growth of our fellow human beings, that is our job. Those of us who have this particular vision will continue against all odds. Life is for service. And that's the way he lived, wasn't it? So we need to embody that in our lives. And see, again, wherever we are, you know, God is a circle whose center is everywhere. And so we get to bring that embodiment into our life right where we are, what is, as it's going on. Bring an awareness of God into every part of your life. Override the limited vision of separateness, of there's only so much, with this sense of this omnipresence of God that's there for us. And then name that good in the midst of your life so that you can embody it in every moment of your life. God in every part and particle. Remember the old hymn, praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's our work. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for the incredible awareness of your living presence that's within everything, that's stirring up what we don't need so that we can set it aside, stirring up our limitations so that we can move beyond them, so that we can live from that absolute confidence of oneness and be bold in the way that we express in ourselves and as ourselves your gifts of light and love and wisdom and joy. We know that you are with us in everything, and we give thanks as we let it live and work through us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.